where I may always be. It's good to be here. Appreciate the opportunity. We're joined right now by a journalist for ESPN. Very busy man, host of Ariel Helwani's MMA show. Ariel and the Bad Guy, DC and Helwani, the ESPN MMA Snap Show, an NBA sideline reporter. He is a Knicks fan. He is a member of the Bills Mafia. And yes, he is a friend of the program. Ariel Helwani is my guest. Ariel, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, it's always great to be on, but this week especially, I am fired up, Jim. I don't know which Helwani you're about to get here, because I got to tell you, I got a lot of hot takes, Jim, today.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the one that I want. That's the Helwani I want, man. Bring it. All right, so we're a few days out. UFC 257, I can hear it in your voice. You're pumped up. Poirier and McGregor 2 on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. How would you describe the excitement, the vibe, the anticipation leading up to this particular fight?
Well, if I'm being honest, I thought you were referring to what's going to go down on Sunday evening at Arrowhead Stadium as my Buffalo Bills punch their ticket to Tampa Bay and eventually win the Super Bowl. I thought you were going to ask me about the fact that we want the man, Patrick Mahomes, to be there because, you know, as Ric Flair once said, to be the man, Jim, you got to what? You got to what?
Beat the man.
That's right. So we want Patrick there Sunday evening at Arrowhead Stadium. We want their best because Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, the rest of the crew on the offensive side of things, led by the great Brian Daboll. It's a crime he's not a head coach. And then the defensive side of things, led by the great Leslie Frazier. It's a crime he's not a head coach. We got something special for those Kansas City Chiefs. But enough about that for now. Back to the fights. Yes, big fight. It's Conor McGregor returning. First time in a little over a year. Big fight for him. You know, 8 years ago, seven and a half years ago, he had to get by Dustin Poirier to become a featherweight contender. Fast forward, January 2021, he has to get by Dustin Poirier to become a lightweight contender. Very reminiscent of what Josh Allen has to do on Sunday evening. You see what I did there?
He
has to get by Patrick Mahomes to punch his ticket and become a contender himself.
Dude, you got to settle down. It's going to be a long week, man. You got to get to Sunday night. There's a lot. Well, Saturday, then Sunday, but I can hear it. You're fired up. It's a big, big week. I did see exactly what you did there. All right, so talk about the rematch this time around. I mean, there's a lot to see in terms of similarity. You spoke to Conor recently. What was your sense as to his mood, his mindset, and what was your biggest takeaway from that conversation?
So if I'm being honest, right before the conversation, which, by the way, happened at 3:15 a.m. Eastern time, it was a very unique one. I was in New York. He was in Dubai. I thought that I was going to get an irritated Conor, an annoyed Conor, an upset Conor, one who felt like he was robbed of what could have been a great year, of course, due to the pandemic, but also due to some politics, if you will, with the UFC. Instead, I got probably the most relaxed Conor that I ever talked to. I mean, he was wearing his, familiar custom suit, but he was wearing slippers as well. He was slouched. He wasn't sitting there with his, normal great posture and his intensity. He just seemed really calm, cool, collected, very happy, very at ease. Of course, I was wondering if he'd be a little irritated because he has to cut down to 155 for the first time since October of 2018. But, I don't know how much you can read into all of this. If I'm a Conor fan, I'm watching that, I'm like, wow, he's in a good spot. Mentally, physically, he looks to be in great spirits. And this was, a little over a week before the fight. It seems like it's all coming together for him. We'll see what that translates into come Saturday night. But just from his demeanor and everything that he was kind of giving off to me on camera, it was by far the most relaxed Conor that I ever talked to before one of his fights.
We're talking to Ariel Helwani. All right, let me ask you about this. Earlier this week you said, and I quote, I'm sure the internet's going to get so mad at me for saying this. I think that Conor McGregor is one of the most underrated fighters in the history of the sport. End of quote. So Ariel, is that hot take, Ariel, or can you lay that out for me? And do you mean that from a technical standpoint and a historic standpoint? What do you mean by that?
And first, let me just clear up. There are no hot takes here. It's all real deal Holyfield stuff. It's always the truth. Just like the great Howard Cosell once said, I always tell it like it is. Because, there's sort of like an insinuation that a hot take is just a bunch of nonsense. With me, it's always legit. Now, why?
Dude, I thought you said at the start of the interview that who am I going to get? The Ariel Helwani or hot take Ariel Helwani?
You know what? I'm acting crazy this week. I'm sitting here wearing a Thurman Thomas jersey. I don't know what to do with myself. All right, Jim? I mean, it's been 26 years.
I understand, dude. We haven't even gotten into the Knicks, the roller coaster ride that is the Knicks, so I understand.
Listen, let's not get into Tom Thibodeau, Coach of the Year 2021. Let's not get crazy here, but it's the truth. Anyway, I love coming on the show because you bring out gems like that. I don't know who's responsible for this. Your great production staff, you, your researcher. It's just great stuff. You're always prepared, and that's why I love coming
on. The answer is yes. The answer is yes to your question.
Yes, all right. Okay.
You see what I did there? You see what I did there, Ariel? You see what I did there? You see why I'm in the Hall of Fame?
Listen, You're the man. You're the
right.
GOAT.
Continue.
What can I say? Anyway, back to the question. I feel like Conor doesn't get the respect that he deserves as a fighter. Put aside the fame, put aside the hoopla, put aside the trash, everything. You know what he brings to the table. As a fighter, skill-wise, the guy doesn't get enough credit. Like, he is a phenomenal fighter. And I think the fact that he hasn't been active, the fact that he had the high-profile loss to Khabib, to some a high-profile loss to Floyd Mayweather, has taken away from what this man has done thus far in his career. And oh, by the way, he's still in his early 30s. He is a phenomenal striker. He doesn't get enough credit for his improved wrestling. And I just feel like we need to start giving this man his due. I think he is one of the best strikers to ever compete in mixed martial arts. I think he continues to evolve. I think he is a tough matchup for Dustin Poirier. We know what he did back in 2014. He beat him in a minute and 46 seconds. And I think that sometimes people hate him so much, he's so polarizing, they don't want to give him his due. Well, I'm here to say he is underrated. I know the internet can't come to terms with this, but it is true. And we need to start giving this man his due as a fighter. Everything else we could talk about, controversial, polarizing, yeah, that's all debatable. But as a fighter, he does not get his proper due, in my opinion.
I do not disagree with that, by the way. Ariel Helwani is joining us. Now, what about Poirier? I mean, you and I can talk on and on about Conor, understandably so. But Conor is dealing with a really, really tough fighter, really tough opponent who has some huge, huge wins. And this is no slouch. Based on your conversations with DC on the podcast, what is your sense as to where Dustin is mentally and psychologically at this moment, and how different is he now from their first fight?
So he has evolved tremendously. He's a much better fighter than the one who fought Conor back in 2014. The biggest difference is, in my opinion, his maturation. When he fought Conor the first time, he was young, he was angry. You know, there's a clip of him before the fight saying, I've never hated someone so much in my life. Like, you can't go into a fight with Conor McGregor like that. This time around, it's completely different. The vibes are different. They're buddy-buddy. Conor's donating to his charity. They're fathers now. It's all different, and we'll see what that translates into. DC told me he spent some time with him in Vegas before they flew out to Abu Dhabi. I've talked to Dustin as well. He seems to be a lot less anxious. He seems to be a lot less fired up for this fight. But if I'm being honest, historically, you know, he doesn't necessarily win the big one. Yes, he has an interim title victory, but he never won the undisputed title, lost to Khabib, got knocked out by Conor, got knocked out by Michael Johnson. You know, he stumbled along the way in the big fight, and sometimes he was about to get a title shot back in the day against Korean Zombie, stumbled in that one too. So I'm curious, you know, Conor is the master at mind games, right? And tomorrow morning there's a press conference. My prediction for the press conference is Conor's going to try to disarm him even more, buddy-buddy with him, much like he did with Donald Cerrone. He's not going to try to bring fire to the press conference like he did with Aldo or Mayweather. He's going to try to make it seem like they're buddies. Come Saturday, boom, attack him right out of the gate, and I hope that Dustin is ready for that.
Ariel Helwani is joining us. All right, so you mentioned Khabib. Let me ask you this. Khabib's brother, Umar, made his debut today. He won in the second round. What did you make of that performance?
He looked fantastic. You know, you got a glimpse of the future of the Nurmagomedov family. Khabib has been saying time and again, you know, you know this obviously, you know, the decision back in July of 2010 at the Boys and Girls Club in Stamford, Connecticut, you know, one of the biggest debacles in the history of sports announcements. Finally, it has been dropped down to number two. Number one is now what Dana White did on the broadcast on Saturday, claiming that he had an announcement to make regarding Khabib's future, claiming that he had a decision to announce to the world, and what did we get? We got nothing. That being said, we don't know about Khabib's future. We do know that his family members are really, really good. Umar looked phenomenal. He has another family member named Usman, who's going to debut for Bellator later on this year. He's got quote-unquote brothers named Islam Makhachev, who's about to fight in a couple of weeks, who's a phenomenal fighter as well. If Khabib never fights again and kind of transition into this coaching role, which is the role that his late father, Abdulmanap, occupied for so many years, he is primed to have a real army by his side because these guys are really good. We're going to be hearing about the Nurmagomedov family for a very long time, with or without Khabib fighting actively in the UFC.
So, what do you think, though, in your opinion? Like, Khabib, you're right. He could settle into that role. He'll be a brilliant coach. He's already building something amazing outside of his fighting career. We know he does not need the money. He can never get to the money I'm sure that he's already made. What do you think his motivation is? Do you think he wants that 30th fight? Do you think that if something spectacular were to happen Saturday night, that might motivate him enough for that fight? Or could he be looking at another fight?
Honestly, I kind of feel like we need to leave the guy alone. I feel like he was very clear about how he felt and what he wanted when he beat Justin Gaethje back in October of last year. He was emotional. He said his mother doesn't want him to fight without his dad by his side. And here we are 3 months later, and we continue to berate this guy and use him as this bait and a promotional tool and all this stuff. Like, why can't we just leave him be? He's in his early 30s. He hasn't taken a lot of damage. I think at some point, perhaps in 2022, maybe even 2023, he says, you know what, I'll go for that 30. I want to fight one more time. I want to do something spectacular. But maybe I'll fight 2-3 more times. But right now, it almost makes me uncomfortable that we're doing this whole song and dance with him. I feel like the UFC should just leave him alone. I'm not advocating for them to take the title away from him right now, because I've always believed you have a year to defend the belt. The guy just fought 3 months ago. No rush to take the belt away, but I don't understand why they're doing this. This fight on Saturday doesn't need Khabib as a promotional tool. Conor coming back, the big rematch, Dustin trying to avenge loss. It has enough. We'll see what happens afterwards, but I'll tell you what, Jim. I don't think the winner of this fight is fighting Khabib. Even if Khabib comes back and says, you know what, I am going to fight this year. The winner of this fight is not fighting Khabib. You know why? Because coming up in April is Ramadan. Khabib is a devout Muslim. He won't fight between now and April, that's for sure. He's not going to fight during Ramadan. He's not going to fight immediately after Ramadan. He'll probably, if in fact he fights this year, fight in the fall. Conor's not waiting until the fall. So we can worry about him later. Let's enjoy the fight on Saturday. Let's see who the winner gets. But I feel fairly confident in saying if it's Conor, it's not going to be Khabib, because Conor wants to be a lot more active this year than he was last year.
I think that's fair. He had that one fight to start the year, and then he did not fight again, and then the wheels came off, and he was not happy about that.
Right.
All right, Ariel, last thought. If, in fact, Patrick Mahomes does play,
yes, in
your opinion, and try and be objective about this, I know you're a proud member of the Mafia, does Buffalo's best beat Kansas City's best on the road?
1,000%. The question to me isn't the question that you just asked. The question to me is it a 46-21 kind of game, or is it a 46-31 kind of game? The Buffalo Bills are a team of destiny, Jim Rome. And let me tell you something. You remember it very well. 30 years ago, Whitney Houston, God, America the Beautiful, all that stuff. What happened? Scott Norwood, wide right. Guess what? 30 years later, Tampa Bay, same city. We go back and we reclaim what we should have won in 1990, and then the entire history of the Buffalo Bills would have been completely different, because we would have won four straight as opposed to losing four straight. Well, guess what? That was then. This is now. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Devin Singletary, Micah Hyde, Sean McDermott, Jordan Poyer, the rest of the squad, we are ready. They have nothing for us. They're Frankie Edgar. They've been squeaking by decisions, right? They've been squeaking by decisions for the last few weeks. We're Francis Ngannou. We're knocking people out. We're sweeping the Patriots. We're beating the Steelers. We're doing what we did to Baltimore last week. Everyone said they were going to run all over us. We're beating teams decisively. We wanted to go to Arrowhead. Oh, and guess what? One more thing for you. 1994, when they went to the Super Bowl for the last time, where did they win? Where did they go to win in 1994? It's all coming together, Jimbo. It's all coming together. We're punching our golden ticket, just like I'll punch that golden ticket.
About time. All right, so don't forget about that golden ticket. You have that golden ticket. You've been in the habit of forgetting about that golden ticket. I'm glad you brought that up. So remember, you still have that. Dude, I don't even know you anymore. However, this sounds like this is the best weekend of your entire life.
Bills Mafia, I've been waiting for this. I'm a father, 38 years old, Jim. I have been waiting for this. My baseball team doesn't exist, the Montreal Expos. The Knicks are, we know who the Knicks are. I want one. Just give me one. If I've learned one thing, Jim, man to man, father to father right now, husband to husband, if I've learned one thing over the past year during this pandemic, it's that life is short. It is very short, and tomorrow isn't guaranteed. All I want is for the Buffalo Bills to be holding the Vince Lombardi Trophy come early February in Tampa. That is all I want. Please give it to me, and I will never ask for anything else again.
Ariel Helwani, we're going to find out. My man, you have yourself a great weekend, and I can't wait to see how it plays out. You've got a major fight on Saturday night. He's got his game coming up on Sunday. Where do you come out? What's your reaction? Ariel Helwani, thank you very much, dude.
Remember me on February 7th, Jim. Remember me when you're watching the Super Bowl.
Oh, I will.
And hosting that trophy.
You got it. All right. Thank you very much, Ariel Helwani. How about that? That's the Bills Mafia right there. He said, not only are we going to win, we're going to win big, and be sure that Patrick Mahomes is there, because we want to be the best. To be the man, you got to beat the man. Man, be careful what you wish for.